We saw last time as we read through the book of Judges that Gideon not only had to defeat the Midianites, but had to a certain extent have to have conflict with other tribes in the nation of Israel. He was refused food at two different cities and promised that he would return when the victory was won and, retribution would follow. He goes on, captures the two kings, and then he returns to the two cities and beats the elders of Succoth with thorns and briars. But even worse, in Penuel, he tears down the tower, which would have been one of the protections of the city, and kills all the men of the city. Now, we learn later, too, in this text, that something has happened previously. There's not a hint of it anywhere else that I'm aware of. Some time in the past, the Midianites had killed Gideon's brothers. Now, I don't know that it was connected with this particular conflict or whether it had been previous in all the other years when they had suffered under Midianite oppression. But we learn that, and so we see as well here that Gideon is obeying God's call, but there is also a level of retribution and revenge here. Gideon shows his loyalty to God by refusing to be made king, and that was a good thing. But you can also sense what we'll see more of later, that there is that feeling that he is to be considered better than the rest. He is not going to be king, but he will do kingly things. And in this case, he does priestly things. He asks them to donate the earrings that they have taken as spoil. A little comment in there that the Ishmaelites wore gold earrings. And he makes an ephod. The priest, the high priest, had an ephod. It was the means of communicating God's will in certain questions that were asked. And you remember they would reach inside and pull out one of the two stones, one for yes, the other for no. And so Gideon seems to think that he, who has been called to be a channel of God's guidance, at least in this case of defeating Midian, needs to continue to serve in this capacity. He declines the kingship, but it's obvious that he covets more for himself than God has given him to do. And as a result, the writer says Israel ended up worshiping the ephod. Not God, but the ephod. Gideon yields to temptation to glorify himself, and he sows the seeds of future trouble. The land has rest under Gideon for 40 years, but after his death, Israel returns once more to Baal worship. And it's important to note that this is the last time in the book of Judges that the word rest occurs. There will be a number more of judges, but there is never rest for Israel. Israel loses this gift because they've despised Yahweh. They've turned away from his promises. And so the gifts are withdrawn. The Bible clearly reports the failures of judges and later kings. And in doing so, it reminds us that it is difficult to finish well. We look at the history of the Christian church and we see those who have sparkled in the service of Christ who end up crashing and burning more times than we care to think. It's tough to end well. And the believer knows that Christ will keep him strong to the end, as Paul writes to the Corinthians. And that's our only assurance. Let's turn to this passage as I read verses 13 through 28 of Judges chapter 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Heres. And he captured a young man of Succoth and questioned him. And he wrote down for him the officials and elders of Succoth, 77 men. And he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you taunted me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand that we should give bread to your men who are exhausted? And he took the elders of the city, and he took thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them taught the men of Succoth a lesson. He broke down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Then he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, "Where are the men whom you killed at Tabor?" They answered, "As you are, so were they. Every one of them resembled the son of a king." And he said, "They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had saved them alive, I would not kill you." So he said to Zethor, his firstborn, "Rise and kill them." But the young man did not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a young man. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise yourself and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna, and he took the crescent ornaments that were on the necks of their camels. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian." Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." And Gideon said to them, "Let me make a request of you. Every one of you give me the earrings from his spoil." For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they said, "We will willingly give them." And they spread a cloak, and every man threw in it the earrings of his spoil. And the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, about 42.5 pounds, by the way. Besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, and besides the collars that were around the necks of the camels, and Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city in Ophrah, and all Israel whored after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family. So Midian was subdued before the people of Israel, and they raised their heads no more, and the land had rest for 40 years in the days of Gideon. There are warnings throughout the stories of the Old Testament that we need to guard ourselves as well, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and not to go beyond what God has instructed us and commanded us to do, not to seek to add to God's worship and word.